What Bible character have we been
speaking about for the last month? Joseph. Okay, which one? The one with the coat of many colors. Okay, very good. Well, it kind of gave it away by saying turn to the book of Genesis. That kind of gives it away. I don't think we could go and talk about Jesus' earthly father by going to Genesis. I guess we could, but anyway, Joseph. We've been learning a lot about Joseph. Tonight's our fifth lesson in the life of Joseph, and I hope that you are being reminded of things regarding the life of Joseph. It is a very familiar Bible character. Bible story has quite a roundabout in his life, going in ups and downs and all that there is. But I've always found it to be one of my favorite, events. It's multiple events in one man's life, in the life of Joseph. And so tonight I'd like to speak to us on this theme, and that it's a question. And the question is, what do we see? What do we see? And I was given guys in my car a little prelim, so you guys don't go to sleep on me just because you've heard some of this, all right? You got just a little bit of it, and that's all, okay? And but what do we see? What do we see? Or what am I seeing? And it's in reference to our life, and we consider the life of Joseph as well. Verse number 41 is where we'll begin. And the Bible says in 41:41, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had." Now, if you remember from the last couple of weeks, or even in your own Bible reading, you know that just a little while ago, Joseph was sitting in jail. Now he's sitting in a chariot, riding behind Pharaoh, and no one else but Joseph riding behind Pharaoh, second in command, if you will. Quite a turnabout. "And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And in verse 45, he gets a really cool name. Close your eyes, read it once. Close your eyes and see if you can spell it. Quite the name there, Zaphnath-Paneah. And he was given a wife too. And there's a lot right in there, actually. Him being a Jew and being given a Gentile bride. There's some prophetic things there, if you think about it for a minute. Not the message for tonight, but there's some prophecy there of what will come someday. But notice verse 46. He's not a teenager anymore. Joseph was how old? 30 years old. 30 years old. When we began looking at the life of Joseph, we were pretty confident that he was probably a teenager. 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. And now he's 30 years old and a lot's happened. And so what do we see? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being in church tonight. Thank you for those three missionary updates that we just heard. And we look forward to going together in prayer for them here in just a little while. We're excited about what you're doing in these places, in their lives. Some are on deputation, some are on the field. All of them, Lord, they need our prayer. We will do our best to pray for them this week. Now tonight, Lord, we once again want to glean some help from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph is no longer a teenager running the errands of his father. That's where we first learned about Joseph. His father sent him to check on his brothers. He's no longer that teenager anymore. In fact, now he's gone from the pit with his brothers that were selling him to the Ishmaelites, who were taking him down to Egypt and being a slave in Potiphar's house for numbers of years, and then being in jail, and now he is second in command in all of Egypt. What a journey. What a journey. And verse 46 gives us that indication that he's a man now. He's 30 years of age. And also, let's Let's look back up in our text and see how this Jewish young man is looked at in the eyes of Pharaoh. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man, such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Notice that statement, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. You know what that means? That tells me this, that Pharaoh was able to see God in Joseph's life. Now think about that tonight. Think about our life tonight. Think about your life tonight. Can the Lord be seen in our life? Can the world see Jesus in us? I don't mean literally, can the world look at us and see whatever we think Jesus looks at? I'm saying, can the world see the qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ in us? Can they see a difference in our life? Can they see that God has changed us from the inside out? This Pharaoh says, you know what? The Spirit of God is in this man. There's something different about Joseph. And can others, I wrote this down in my notes, can others see God in me? Can others see God in me? Now, God had revealed to Joseph via Pharaoh's dream about two different periods of time. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And we didn't read all of that, but you can read all of that this week. And it would even say there in the text that the famine wasn't going to be just in Egypt. The famine was going to be all over the place. And in fact, because of what Joseph was able to do, Egypt was going to be the breadbasket of the area. And everybody was going to come to Egypt to try to find food. And obviously, when we get hungry, that's what we try to do. We try to find food. Now, Egypt was the place where the people would come to do that. That's because God's timing was perfect. And we looked at a little bit of that last week. Now, Joseph has gone from 13 years of up and down. He's been obedient to God as far as we can tell. He's obeyed his father. He's obeyed the Lord. He's done exactly what he was told to do. And up until Pharaoh saying, hey, Joseph, you're going to ride second to me, there were a lot of things that Joseph could have looked at and dwelled on that would have caused him to become bitter. I see, and I don't see as I read these verses, I don't see any bitterness in Joseph's life. In fact, I see in a man, someone who was trying to point the glory and bring the honor to the Lord. Notice, if you will, in verse number 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. In verse 32, and for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. That's Joseph speaking to Pharaoh there. And all I'm saying is, we see in the life of Joseph that he is pointing Pharaoh, this is of God, this is of God, this is of God. Look at verse number 16 of chapter 41. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. It's not about me, Pharaoh. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph is saying, look, Pharaoh, whether you know it or not, this is in between the lines there. You know, I've been for 13 years now. I've been lied about. I've been put in prison. I've been sold by my brothers and all this. But you know what? It is not about me. It's not about Joseph. And he's telling this to Pharaoh. He's saying, hey, God's going to speak to you. God's going to show you something in all this. And I have to submit to you tonight that that's a great testimony in each of our lives as we consider all that Joseph has endured. No doubt about it, Joseph was a man of distinction now. Joseph was a man of prominence now because of this dreams that God has enabled him. And by the way, it wasn't Joseph that interpreted the dreams. It was God who let Joseph know, well, how to interpret those dreams. And as we serve the Lord, let us be reminded of that. We don't accomplish anything today apart from God working in and through us. We share the gospel with a coworker. Great testimony today. But that wasn't Brother Tejada winning that lady to Christ. That was the power of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the people of God praying for souls to be saved and us as a church praying for revival and all of that. It's all of God. It's not of us. Yes, God uses human instruments. God uses human penmen as he did in the Bible, writing the Bible. God uses you. God uses me. But it's all by the power of God that anything is accomplished. And Joseph is just saying, hey, Pharaoh, it's not about me. It's about what God is doing. In our text, we find that Joseph, as I said a moment ago, he's given a wife, and the Lord gives him two sons. Now, these two sons are very important to our lesson tonight. This is kind of a little bit of review so far. You'll see there in your Bibles that he's given two sons, and they're listed for us in verses 51 and 52. Their name, and we're going to get there in just a minute, but their names are Manasseh. This is what I have forgotten. That's what his name means. And then Ephraim. And that means this is what God has blessed me with. This is what I have forgotten. This is what God has blessed me with. These are key characters to the Bible lesson tonight as we come up with this thought of, as we think about this question, what do we see? And here's really the truth. We're going to go a little bit more into it, but here it is. If I only see the affliction and not the blessing, I'm missing out. Everyone here is going to have affliction. There's no way around it. You know how I know that? I know that because we live in a world that is cursed by sin. And that's not going to change until the new heaven and the new earth. And so because of that, affliction is not going to stop. Affliction is going to come. Difficulties are going to come. It's a battle. The Christian life is a battle, is it not? It's a battle. Thanks be to God, though, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But affliction is going to come. But if that's all I look at is the affliction and I don't see the blessing, boy, I'm going to have a miserable life. And that's exactly what the enemy would like for every believer, is to always look at the affliction and never see the blessings of God. By the way, our life as Christians can be filled with blessings. The Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits. Isn't that true? God daily gives us all things richly to enjoy. So, I ask you tonight, what do you see? Number one, we have three things quickly. Number one, our forgetting. Verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. I mean, think about what Joseph has gone through. I won't repeat all of it. You heard it. I'm going to repeat some of it, but not all of it. Joseph could have dwelt on everything that he had lost. Joseph could be thankful for what he had been given. Joseph could have dwelt on the rejection of his father and the rejection of his brothers and the fact that he hadn't seen his father in, let's say 13 years. I mean, think about that. Or Joseph could have dwelled on those lost 2 years in prison. Or Joseph could have said, no, I'm gonna let all of that turmoil, I'm going to let all of that affliction, I'm not going to let it blind me, but I'm going to point my eyes and I'm going to look at what God is doing and the blessings of the Lord. I don't believe Joseph forgot his dad. I don't believe Joseph forgot his brothers. But there were some things in his past that needed to be left right there. You know what? There's probably some things in your past and in my past that we need to say, look, there has to come a point in time in my life where I don't forget everything about the people and everything, but I have to move on from some things in my life because I'm continually carrying some things in my life that are keeping me from having great victory in my life right now, present tense. And I believe that's what we can learn from the life of Joseph, that Joseph chose not to do that. If there's anybody that could have sat around and sucked on his thumb and said, woe is me, it was Joseph. Did he not get the raw end of the deal many times? Yes, he did. And he didn't deserve it. But no, he carried on. And by the grace of God, he was able to move on. Joseph did not forget his father. He did not forget his brothers. He did not forget where he lived. But here's something. I believe Joseph was able to move on by God's grace from the hurt. everyone in this room, we could go back and find hurt in our life. But can God's grace help us to move on? Yes, it can. Can God's grace help us to move on from some things in our past that maybe that's sin of our past, that we've sought forgiveness and it's forgiven. Christ has forgiven you. By the way, 1 John 1:9. If we confess, if we agree with God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'll tell you what, the devil is going to do a great job of trying to remind you of things, maybe failures in your past. Maybe it was things that you did that were wrong, that God's forgiven you for. And the devil keeps bringing those things up. Look, we need to say, look, devil, God's already forgiven me of that. I'm moving on. I'm going to press on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to move on. Maybe it's something of hurt, like in Joseph's life, where people have wronged you or they've done things against you that were wrong, and rightfully so. They were wrong. Nobody's saying it wasn't wrong, but how much benefit does it benefit you and benefit me to take time to live in the hurt? I'll tell you how much. None. It doesn't benefit me to live in hurt. What benefits me is to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that can only be done by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And I see that in the life of Joseph. Look, here's a thought. I make it difficult to move on when I'm unwilling to forgive. In some way and somehow, by the power of God, Joseph was able to get on with living his life at each and every crossroad. We know he was in the prison for at least 2 years, right? Because the Bible told us after 2 years, the butler remembered, oh, that's right, Joseph the dreamer, the interpreter of dreams. So, but he may have been there a little bit longer. So that means he could have been in Potiphar's house anywhere from 9 to 11 years, in jail anywhere from 3 to 4 years, don't know exactly. But there's a lot of time in there where Joseph could have just sat around and sulked and got bitter. But here's the question. What do you see? Tonight you have a choice to make. Will you look at the affliction? Will you look at the difficulty? Will you look at the past? Or will you look at the goodness and mercy and grace of God? It's your choice. It's my choice. What do we see? Turn with me quickly to Ephesians 4:32. Let's talk a little bit about this theme of forgiveness. Now, we know Joseph was a forgiving brother, not from the verses yet, but from the verses that we'll look at later on in this series. But we can go ahead and talk about it now, because I believe that spirit was already there. The spirit of forgiveness. Can you imagine if Joseph would have thought evil about his brothers for 13 years, what it would have been like when they first meets him in the palace, and that's coming up in the next couple. Can you imagine if he would have thought evil about them for 13 years? There's no telling what would have happened. Now that's what ifs. So I'm of the opinion, and that's I guess what it is, that because he didn't, that even right now where we're at in his life, that Joseph was a man of forgiveness, and that helped him to be able to move on. Ephesians 4:32 is a verse that you need to commit to memory if you haven't yet. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Turn over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 13. The Bible says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's very clear here, both Paul's epistles, that we need to be men and women of a forgiving spirit. We need to have the attitude of forgiveness. Here's something. When we are unwilling to forgive, we are blinded to everything else that God is doing in our life. Because all we see is the offense. All we see is the problem. I read this quote today by a pastor, Pastor Prater. I love this quote. He said this, "Our capacity to forgive is directly related to our comprehension of how much God has forgiven you. Can I read that again? I'm going to, even if I can't. Our capacity to forgive is directly related to our comprehension of how much God has forgiven you. So that means this: if you're struggling with forgiving someone, then you don't realize how much God's forgiven you. That's what it all boils down to. Because when I think about my sin, and I think about how much God has forgiven me, then it makes it really easy to forgive someone else. And we can think about that in every area of our life. And you know what? You might not be able to actually see someone face to face that you need to forgive tonight. But if you're holding something against someone in your past, it is going to keep you from experiencing the blessings of God moving forward in your life. What do you see? See? There has to come a place in our life where we, by God's grace, and I'm not saying it's easy, but by the grace of God, we move on. We move on. Some of that is going to involve forgiveness. Paul said it this way in Philippians, right in between those two books, Philippians 3, verse 13. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Think about what Paul was leaving behind. Paul was leaving behind the fact that he was in charge of the stoning of who? Stephen. Yeah. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul was there. Paul was holding the coats of the guys that were tossing down the big rocks, killing Stephen, the first martyr. Paul was there. He was a witness to that. God used that in his life. But Paul is saying here, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, there were some things in Paul's life that were not pleasing to the Lord, just like in your life and in my life. But he said, I'm not going to be able to press toward the mark, verse 14, for the prize of the high calling of God until I forget those things which are behind. And I move on, knowing that God is able to help me to do that. Joseph had a lot he could have dwelt on. There were plenty of reasons for Joseph to be in a state of defeat and depression. He could have lived that way every day. But he chose to move on. Here's a news flash. We live in an imperfect world with imperfect people. We live in an imperfect world with imperfect people, we being those imperfect people. Meaning this, more offenses are going to continue to come. But what do we choose to see? What do we choose to see? Number one is our forgetting. Number two is our fruit bearing. Our fruit bearing. Let's look at this second son by the name of Ephraim in verse 52, back to Genesis 41. Our fruit bearing. Verse 52 of chapter 41 of Genesis, the Bible says, in the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful. I like these last two statements, two prepositional phrases here, in the land of my affliction. Specifically that one, affliction. Did you catch that? God has allowed me to bear fruit during affliction. So that means we should not be praying really so intently that God would take away affliction. Would you not agree with that? Because it was in the affliction that Joseph said, this is where I bear fruit. I bore fruit. No, we should pray, God, enable me, give me your grace, that during this affliction, I would be able to see fruit for your honor and glory. That I would be able to be faithful for your honor and glory. That in this difficult time, you would be magnified and you would be glorified. And you would have I would have a chance to say, hey, just so you know, sir, just so you know, ma'am, it's not me, but it's my God. That's what Joseph did. Hey, Pharaoh, it's not Joseph, it's my God. And my God is powerful. And my God interprets dreams. My God gave you the dream. It's my God. Be fruitful during affliction. Only God could help someone like Joseph bear fruit in times of difficulty. Some way, somehow, Joseph was able to find peace in Egypt. This was not where Joseph envisioned spending his life as a teenager, heading to Egypt. But this is where God had intended for Joseph to be all along. God in his sovereignty was putting together a plan. This was exactly where God wanted Joseph. And by the way, if you tonight are exactly where God wants you, you can have peace. Oh, but to get outside of the will of God, to get outside of the will of God, it might look better, it might sound better, but to be outside of the will of God, there is no peace outside of the will of God. To be inside the will of God with affliction all around us, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. It doesn't matter what's going on around Joseph. He's saying, I've got peace in this thing. It doesn't matter what's going on around you tonight. If you're in the middle of the will of God, in the center of the will of God, and there's affliction going on all around you, there can be fruit come out of that. And I find that in the times of affliction in my life, and in the times of difficulty in my life, and in the life of Anchor Baptist Church, it is in those times of the unknown that we have seen the mighty hand of God work in a tremendous way. And I don't believe God's miracles are done. I don't believe that the God of the Bible who gave Joseph the ability to do this and who fed 5,000 with two breads and five fishes, anyway, something like that. Joshua, what was it? Help me. Thank you, Joshua. Appreciate that. Your voice just changed. Five loaves and two fishes. And that God, that miracle-working God, can help me to speak straight to, sometimes too. Amen. That's a miracle in itself right there. God is in the miracle working business. Let's not limit God. He's able. He wants to see me bear fruit. He wants to see you bear fruit. But that's going to take some pruning. Nobody wants to be pruned. Nobody wants your branches trimmed. That's when the best fruit comes, is when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to come in and snip off those parts of our life that need not be there and challenge us and push us to trust God even more. All the twists and turns in Joseph's life were to bring him to this point, because someday God was going to use Joseph to spare Jacob and spare the people of Israel from starvation. God had it all under control. Think about this. Your affliction right now in your life might be there so that somebody can experience the miracle power of Almighty God. Trust God. Trust God and obey. Joseph had no family when he was sold by his brothers. Think of it. He had no family now. He had no idea that he would ever see his dad again. He had no idea if he'd ever see his brothers again. None. He was all alone. Except we read many times that the Lord was with Joseph. But now, through God's grace, he's married and has two sons. God can bring blessing in the midst of affliction. No family, now he has a family. How about this? Joseph, when he was at home, he had that beautiful what? Coat. We might say that Joseph was the favored son. I don't think that's stretching it at all. Nobody else had a coat like Joseph. He was the favored son. So he was, probably had it pretty easy maybe, I don't know. That was taken from him. He finds himself on a caravan as a slave. He would be a servant in Potiphar's house. He would be in prison. All I'm saying is, this is what he had. This is what God, the affliction that God brought him to. And then fast forward ahead to 30 years old. Now he's second in command under Pharaoh. You know, many times in my life, I haven't wanted the chastening. I haven't wanted the squeezing and putting the pressure on and wondering, when is God going to come through? Is God going to come through? What is God doing in all of this? But oh, there's fruit bearing that comes as we wait on the Lord and trust Him. That's what we see. What are you looking at? What are we looking at tonight? That's the question. And then really, it should have been number one, but it's number three, and that is this. So we saw our forgetting, our fruit bearing, and number three, our faithful Lord. Our faithful Lord. It mattered not where Joseph was geographically. God was faithful to him. God knows your address. God knows my address. God knows about our missionaries and where they are tonight, what they need. It mattered not where Joseph was. It mattered not what Joseph was wearing. And it mattered not what Joseph had. But God is not bound by location. God is not bound by man. His very character, God's very character is that of faithfulness. Would you allow these verses to speak to you and help you tonight? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Again, our theme is, what are we seeing? Are we seeing the hurt? Are we looking at the affliction? Are we looking at the challenge? Or are we seeing the fruit that God is bringing in our life? What are we looking at? Well, we ought to be looking at our faithful God, our faithful Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He abideth faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 9. The first three words, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. First three words. God is faithful. What are you looking at tonight? Well, you say, Pastor, I'm looking at a financial problem. Don't look at the financial problem. God is faithful. I'm looking at a health problem. Don't look at the health problem. God is faithful. Did I say 1 Corinthians 9, 1? 1, 9. 1, 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. First three words, God is faithful. Well, you know what? As a church, we could look at September 1st, right? Which is 9-1. Anyway, sorry. And we could say, hey, we don't have a place to meet. That's not good. Or we could look at the Lord and say, God is faithful. God's going to take care of it. That doesn't mean we don't look. That doesn't mean we don't pray. But it sure doesn't mean we sit around and worry. That gets us nowhere in a hurry. God is faithful. What are you looking at tonight? Well, I'm looking at this challenge that is coming my way. I don't know. There's a lot of unknown. Don't look at the unknown. Look at the one who's already there. God's already in the unknown to you and me. There's nothing unknown to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. What do we see tonight? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God is faithful, our faithful Lord. God never forgot Joseph. Here's the difference. Joseph made a choice to see things properly. You've heard the saying, when somebody shows you a glass that's got half of it is filled up, right? And some will look at that and say that glass is half what? Full. That's the best way to look at it. But sometimes life has its challenge and we can look at that same glass and some might say it's half empty. How do we see things? How do we see things? We could easily look at our life and say, man, my life, good night. There's just, oof. Or we could look at our life and say, hey, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I have a Bible. I have a church. I have Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. I have health, even though it may not be the kind of health exactly that I want. And you could just go right on down the line. God is faithful. What are you seeing? What are you looking at? See, that's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference in so many times in my life. I've got the wrong perspective. I'm not looking at it right. I want to ask you tonight, church, what do you see right now in your life? What do you see? Do you find yourself constantly seeing the past? Do you find yourself dwelling on all the times that someone failed you? By the way, the enemy will help us to remember those. Do you find yourself reliving all of your failures? Hey, by the grace of God, you know what it's time to do? It's time to move on. It's time to focus and look and see the faithfulness of our God. It's time to say, God, don't remove this affliction until you're done taking everything out of me so that I can come forth as gold. God, I don't want you to remove it until all the dross has come to the top of my life and you wipe that dross out of my life and I can be found faithful and I can be a fruit-bearing Christian for your honor and glory. God, if you need to clip off a few more branches of my life, please go ahead and do that and give me the grace to go through it because, God, I'm looking at things a little bit differently. I'm going to look at things like Joseph, that I can go through 13 years of what would be considered a waste. And I can come to that end of that 13 years, and in a few days, I can have my brother stand before me, and I can have the peace of God over me that I'm willing to forgive them. That's only by the grace of God. Why? Because Joseph was looking at the right things, and he was looking, number one, at his faithful God.